Welcome to the Midlife Masculine Podcast. I'm Dhruv Sethi. As men, we reach an inflection point in our lives where we question our achievements. Despite societal expectations and our own credentials, many of us feel unfulfilled. I have lived in three countries, built a career in finance, achieved several academic and professional qualifications, but I know there's still more to life, just like most men today. Join me as I invite guests to share wisdom so that we men become self-sovereign in mind, body, and spirit, all with a spiritual undertone. Welcome to another episode of the Midlife Masculine Podcast. My guest today is Susan Jane. Susan is a published author, inspirational speaker, intuitive life coach, and multi-international award winner. Susan has spent 40 years understanding spirituality. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this episode as well. There is so much to talk to you about. I mean, intuition, near-death experiences, a violent gang rape, importance of flowers, emotions, spirituality. There's just so much. So the first topic that I'd like to talk about is intuition. And with that, my first question is, what is intuition?
Okay, this is my favorite question too, because intuition, it's taken me the 40 years or more to get an understanding of what I see intuition as. And the thing I see intuition as, and I'm going to explain it with the stories that I've got, I see intuition as the communication between our spiritual self or our soul, that spirit side of us, and the physical side of us. And I see it that way because when we're in spirit, that spiritual side of us doesn't have the five physical senses. Our physical body can see, can hear, can touch, can taste. We have all those five physical senses. The spiritual body, our spiritual side or our soul, does not have them. They have a knowing. That's what they do. That's what that side of the spirituality is. They have a knowing. So they don't see the same way we see. They don't hear, taste, or feel. It's very, very different. And I've learned that through my stories, and I'm going to explain that a little bit deeper. But what I did get that understanding of is if we've got these two types of bodies, we've got a physical body and a spiritual body, how do they communicate? How do they do that? And that's where the intuition comes in. So that's intuition, the communication between our spiritual side and our physical side.
And are there different types of intuitions?
Oh, absolutely. So we get it in lots of different ways, and we can experience it in lots of different ways. And this is, there is, my business or my website is called Intuitive Nature, because we have these natures and these ways that we can experience things. And it's like everybody, some people are more audio, some people are more visual, some people are more tactile, you know, we experience different things in different ways. The intuition is exactly the same. So if you can imagine your spiritual body, that little soul inside of you saying, I really want to go this way, and your physical body's going, yeah, but you know what? I want to go this way. And so this little soul, this little spirit inside of you is trying to get you to go a particular way, a purpose, find a way to go. And you are constantly going, oh, no, that I'm ignoring it, basically. I don't want to do that. No, I'm not going to go that way. So for it to communicate, it will communicate in different ways. One way is visuals in your dreams, and that's coming through like your crown chakra or your third eye chakra. It comes through your chakras, things like that. So we get this information coming through. Some information coming through can come through the base chakra. Now, I don't know if your listeners know about chakras, but that base chakra is like when you see somebody that you go, they're a bit all right. You can get a feeling in your base chakra. Not necessarily love, but it's certainly part of that area. So we do connect through those chakras. One example I love to give is that I was driving down one of our big main roads here in Australia, and I had been talking to my partner about something, I can't remember what it was, but we were driving down the road and he goes, oh, did you see that big billboard? That was exactly what we were talking about. And I went, no, I didn't see it. And we're going down a bit further, and then I heard something on the radio, and I said to him, oh, did you hear that on the radio? You know, that's what we were talking about. How synchronistic is that? And he goes, I didn't hear it. Now, we were both in the car. His intuition went, hey, look that way, because it's visual, and he likes the visual side of it. and I liked the audio and I heard it on the radio. So same place. We were both in the same car. We both had access to them, but it was our intuitive messages that made us look or hear or go a particular way that allowed us to see what we needed to see or hear what we needed to hear. And your intuition will do that. Your gut feeling will do that because it'll go, it doesn't feel right. Often you feel it first as a, it doesn't feel right, and then you need to take a notice of that. You don't have to not do it, but you do have to take notice of it and go, well, why doesn't it feel right?
So if the intuition is saying go right, but the body wants to go left, should we take that as the intuition is always right above the body? If there's a conflict, like, is there one that is always right?
I would say the intuition is always right, but it's not going to always feel right. So when we talk about life purpose, we often talk about life purpose, especially when we get to these midlife crises where we sort of go, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I'm on the right path. And we have these like little sort of feelings that we're not achieving what we really want to achieve. When we talk about life purpose, one of the things that I like to put across is the life purpose is not of the physical side. The life purpose is of the spiritual side. When you're feeling spiritually connected or when you're feeling connected to your purpose, you are doing, you get the synchronicities, you get these things happening and it does all fall into place. When you're pushing against it and you're sort of going, well, I want to go this way, but you're being sort of guided to go another way. When you push against it, it doesn't matter. It's going to come up again. You're going to push up against it. And often you'll find that if you do choose that way, then something else will happen. You know, another little trigger will go, hang on, you've got to go this way. And there's times there when you get these messages and you get this information, and it's not necessarily nice. Like often we have to go through some tough times or some tough experiences before we do make any changes. And that's all part of our motivation. If you're more motivated towards a negative motivation, you have to wait until the wheels start wobbling before you do something. If you're more inclined to be a positive motivation, it's like you will just see something and go, I'm going to do that, and off you go. So there's different ways we get motivated, and often it's not until the wheels start wobbling, majority of times, that we actually do something about it.
I see. So to paraphrase it, the more we're on our mission, on our purpose, the more we're intuitive and vice versa. Like we experience these synchronicities, etc.
Yes, yes. You start to look at things that they're not necessarily a coincidence. They become more synchronistic. One example I had is I had my own business and my marriage had broken down and I wanted to go back to uni. I wanted to go to uni and I was 48 years old. I wanted to go to uni. My midlife crisis. I wanted to be able to reach more people than I was in my health clinic. I wanted to expand it. So I went to uni and I remember my girlfriend saying to me, she said, look, how do you know, you're traveling all the way down the other side because I had to move to do it. She goes, how do you know that you're going to be accepted into uni? And it was like, it doesn't matter. If I'm not accepted in that, it's because that's not the right one. I'll go into something else. I felt the yearning to go back to university was so strong, was so on purpose that I couldn't not to do it. But this is the funny part. 3 years, I did a three-year university degree, worked full-time, full-time university, worked three part-time jobs to get through it. 6 months after I finished my public health course, which was in 2011, the government changed hands in Australia where we were, and all the jobs that I just had done 3 years study for, left my business, left my home, put renters in my home, left my family, you know, did all that to move and go to uni. 6 months after I finished, the government changed. Wiped out all the jobs, could never ever get the job that I actually did all the study for. And that was because the work I did, the course I studied was a public health degree and it was about health promotion. And I did all about epidemics and I did all about pandemics. And they turned around and said, we don't get pandemics anymore, and wiped it out. And of course, what happened 5 years later, 6 years later? We have a pandemic.
And during that time, you were following your intuition. And did it still feel right that whatever you were doing was the right thing to do?
Yes, I was following my intuition to go to uni. I still believe that was the right thing to do. There was areas there that I needed to learn. The course, it wasn't about the course I did. It wasn't about the subject I did. It was about the learning and the understanding that I got from it. It gave me the confidence to be on a computer. It gave me the confidence to do what I'm doing now. It allowed me to be confident enough to write my book, to do the things that I put what I'd learned into practice, not in the way I had thought it was meant to be, but in a way that was actually better.
Fantastic. Sometimes I wake up and the first thought I get is almost like a download. It's almost like, take this action this day, consider making this decision, almost like advisory. And sometimes when I meditate, just randomly, I'll get an image or a name of a person just like that. Would you call that intuition or intuitive messages?
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. I find I get a lot of my messages. One of the things, if people want to connect with their intuition, is this three. It's really easy. Ask, receive, and then action. So often when I go to bed, if I'm stuck on something, I'll go, all right, give me an answer. And you've just got to ask, I need to get an understanding of this. Tell me what this means. And you just sort of talk into the sky, whatever. If you're talking to your God, do it that way. It can be done through prayer. Prayer's a way of asking. It can be done through swear words. Oh, for God's sake, give me the answer. Get angry, but ask. Make sure you ask. And then give yourself time to receive those messages, because you'll often receive them. If you do it at night before you go to bed, you'll often receive them in a dream. You'll get messages in a dream, and you know they're a bit different. You'll get it when you wake up. You sort of get it just as you're coming to. I'll often get it when I get up in the morning, I do my walk, have my shower. As soon as I'm in the water, under the shower, I'll get messages then. And you're allowing yourself to receive. Lots of other ways. Cards, people use oracle cards because they're asking. People will go to psychics because they're asking for information. They're asking for some advice. We all have free will. If you don't ask for it, you might not get any answers. So ask and then receive those messages and then act on it. And one of the examples I always bring forward is the fact that I was stuck with something, and it was like I had this deck of oracle cards. Now there's 57 cards or something like that in this deck. There's one yes and one no. All the rest are a bit woofy, a little bit woo-woo and all the rest of it, and you have to sort of decide what answer it is. And I'm shuffling this deck out and I said, I've had enough. I don't want any woo-woo answers. I want a yes or a no. That's it. I'm either doing it or I'm not doing it. I'm getting a little bit agitated and all the rest. And anyway, so I shuffle, stop, pull out the card, and it was a yes. And it was like, oh, my God, I've got to do it now. But I didn't. So the third bit is always action it, because I did not live to regret it, but it was like, a couple of months down the track and I've gone, I should have done it. I knew I should have done it, but it's not too late. I can still do it, but I should have done it then.
So there could be some repercussions if you do not follow the intuition. I mean, like you just described, there could be a sense of regret, and that regret could potentially prevent your future manifestations if that regret is looming within you. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. And even the action can be as simple as acknowledging it. Okay, there's that, like you said, a name's come to you. Okay, I've acknowledged that. That name, I wonder what that name's going to mean. I wonder what that means to me. What is that going to bring forward? You might even jot it down. You might not know for a month or two, and all of a sudden this name pops up and think, oh, wow, heard that before. Where have I heard that? There's something important. And that's your intuition guiding you.
And you said the three steps were ask, receive, and action. Is that correct?
Action, yeah. Yep. And receive can be through meditation as well, like you said, yeah.
I want to get the ask right, because I have been trying this for a few months. Like, I love these downloads, by the way. I want more and more of these downloads. So I want to get the ask right. So is it just before you go to sleep, you close your eyes, and you ask to whoever you believe in, God, universe, spirits, that this, please guide me? And how should we be feeling as we fall asleep?
Look, when you're asking, I know this sounds funny, but when you're asking, it doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter what. It's the fact that you're asking. You don't even have to say it out loud. You can say it in your head, like in prayer. You can say, like I said, you can say it screaming, like, for goodness sake, show me where I'm meant to be going. I don't get this. Biggest thing is being open to receive those messages. It's not how you ask. It's making sure you receive them, because you're getting those messages all the time. It's understanding that. And when I say that, this it's hard to explain, but everything you see, everything you do, everything you're involved in, everything you hear is there for a reason. When I first started doing this, I'd be going, oh, I wonder why I heard that song on the radio. Why did that little bird fly across with it? What does that mean over there? And you started taking in all these signs. Now, that can get very, very overwhelming. So then you start to go, okay, what are the signs that are starting to feel something or starting to mean something? And it was like, oh, that little bird stopped and looked at me. What does that little bird mean? What are they doing? Are they, you know, is there a message behind that? Why did I have to see that? Why was my attention taken there? Things like I look down at the clock while I'm working on the computer, and all of a sudden it's 12:34. 1, 2, 3, 4. What does 1, 2, 3, 4 mean? Why am I seeing that? Why am I seeing 11:11? I do like to ask in a more passive, quiet way. I don't like to scream it and yell it out. So it's more about, oh, I really don't understand what's going on. Can you send me a sign? Send me a message? Send me something? Give me some sort of guidance. That's how I tend to ask, because it's usually when I'm a bit frustrated and I don't know what I'm doing. And you know, you're in that spot where you go, well, I don't get this. What am I doing? But when you're receiving those messages, it could be something as simple as a friend asks you to go somewhere and you go, oh, I don't want to go, but I feel like I have to. You go, and then all of a sudden you meet somebody else that helps you with the question you just asked.
Thanks for that explanation. I'm a bloke after all, so we need specific instructions on some things.
You guys like the visuals, and so I get that. So make sure you're looking, because there'll be signs for you, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks for that. Before we move on, though, there was one more question on intuition, and that is, you say that there's somewhat of a difference between trusting your intuition and trusting your gut.
Yep. I tend to use the terminology trust your gut for men, because it just tends to be a little bit more grounding for them. They have an understanding. When we're talking about intuition, a lot of men or a lot of people will think, oh, that's women's intuition, that's women's woo-woo. Now, men are just as intuitive. There's no difference, except men just tend to use the terminology gut. It's, oh, I can feel it. It's like a gut instinct. And it's just very, very grounding. But the reason why they call it gut is because you will often feel it through your solar plexus or your sacral chakra. So the two chakras above and below the belly button in your gut area, and sometimes even lower in the base area, but that's where you'll often feel, you know, something's not quite feeling right, or, you know, I can feel it in my bones, I need to go this way. It's just that gut instinct, and that's where you're receiving that information through those two chakras. When you start to feel it through your heart chakra, well, then you know, people know what love is. So when you're feeling it that way, that's through the heart chakra. And when you start to lose that feeling, it's trying to get that feeling back. It can be really, really challenging. So to get that feeling back in the heart chakra is to be on purpose as well, to be on spiritual purpose as much as physical purpose.
Thanks for that. So moving on to some very difficult experiences you've had in your past, and there's a lot to talk about, and there are a lot of learnings, I think, especially for our listeners, male or female. Perhaps the first one that I want to talk about is you've been subject to a violent gang rape in the past, and intuition came into play there. Could you perhaps just describe to the listeners, just very briefly, the circumstances that led to it and how you tapped into your intuition? And how did that intuition help you?
Okay. Well, to start with, I had no idea about intuition at that stage. I was only 19, so I had no idea about intuition. I was two states away from home on a holiday, and my younger sister had just gone back to our unit, and I was heading back after her. So she'd gone, look, half an hour before me, and I was heading back. Now, the thing is with this, and why I don't mind talking about it, I don't go into all the details, obviously, but I don't mind talking about it, because it was this experience that made me realise what intuition was, but probably 10, 15 years down the track. It was like 10, 15 years down the track that I got an understanding of, okay, what had happened, this out-of-body experience that I had, and then I could relate it back and go, okay, this is what it was all about. So while it was happening, I had no idea. So I can only explain it as I go along, because I didn't get it then. And I certainly can't put it down to intuition, even though now I can. So anyway, I was heading back on one of the main streets, and I got tapped on the shoulder, and I turned around and was king hit. So punched in the face, obviously hit the concrete floor, but I came to, was knocked out. I came to getting dragged into the back of the car by my hair. So I'm in the back of the car and it's like, well, all I could think of was I can't stop these people doing what they're going to do. I tried fighting and that just created more bruises. So I thought I can't stop them doing what they're doing to me, but can I stop them doing it to someone else? Can I stop them repeating this? And that was the ask that I wasn't even aware, but that was the ask. And in an instant, I left my body. Now, when I talk about this, I talk about it as she or her, because it didn't feel like it was me. It was like you were watching a movie. Now, I must have been, and I have to say, outside of the car because I was looking in. Now, when I'm in this state, when you look around, it's like if you can imagine a really bright night in a full moon. You've got that sort of a blue hue to it. And I can remember looking around and there's no one around and I've looked into the back of this car. Now, when I've looked in there, you could see the energy coming from the back of her head. Now, it's like heat on the road, you know, when you see it sort of wavering, you could see that coming out of the back of the head. I couldn't feel anything, but I could.
From the crown chakra?
No, from where she was pulled into the back of the car. You could see the blood down the side of her mouth, but I couldn't taste anything, but I could see the blood and the energy coming out where she'd been punched. You could see energy, pain energy coming from other parts of the body. And you could just sort of see all this energy and what was going on and what was happening. I couldn't taste anything. I couldn't feel it. And there's absolutely no emotion attached to it. Emotions are not from the spirit. Emotions are from the physical. Feelings are from the spirit. So there was no emotional attachment to it. I was just sitting there watching, thinking, I wonder if anyone's going to do anything. I don't know how long that was. I don't know if it was 2 seconds, 8 seconds, half an hour. I have no idea. It wasn't that long, but I have no idea how long I was out of my body. But I did get a message, and it wasn't like a booming voice or anything like that. It's just this is what you do. It was just like I knew what I was going to do. And in an instant, I'm back in the body. Now, as you come back into the body, you feel everything. You feel the pain, you taste the blood, you smell the alcohol, you smell the cigarettes. Everything comes back in one big fast food, like bam. It's so horrible considering where I was. Where I was wonderful. This was so horrible. And I'm back in the body. Now, once I'm in there, I started. Now, I have to let you know, I'm not a religious person, okay? I don't follow any religion. I feel like I'm very spiritual, but I'm not religious. But I knew two prayers from primary school when I did, I think about 3 or 4 weeks I went to school, went to a church, and I knew two prayers. And one of them was, and I don't even know if it's a proper prayer, but I started saying to them, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." It's all I could think of. And I said it out loud, and every time they hit me, I would say it louder and say it louder and say it louder. And I was just in their face. "Forgive them, Lord, for they know." I was forgiving them while they were attacking me. And they only stopped once the hand came around my throat and over my mouth, and then I passed out. So that was what the message was. I came to in the gutter, left it on the side of the road in the gutter. That's when I came to. Now, I had no understanding of this. I didn't even talk much about the attack. I talked to a few people, not many. I had no one, did not mention the experience that I had at all, because I had no idea what was going on. Almost 12 months to the day, and I am jumping ahead, so almost 12 months to that day, I was at work. I worked in a bank. I started feeling quite ill, and I ended up passing out, and they called the doctor in from next door, from beside the bank. I had a near-death experience. I believe I died. They gave me an adrenaline shot to bring me back. So I had this near-death experience. Now, what I saw was, if you can imagine laying on a bed and having everybody look over you. Now, in the bank, there was no bed, so I don't know why I was feeling that way. But I remember standing up and going, "Why is everybody still looking down? I'm up here." And then I just kept on going. So I had this another out-of-body experience where I had this near-death. Now, the only reason I knew it was a near-death experience, as I said before, was 10 years, 15 years later when I started reading about this experience. And it was like, oh, my goodness, that's what happened to me. So I, again, did not talk about this because I didn't know what was going on. But I could see it was like white foggy sort of stuff. I knew I was on a path, but you couldn't see the path. You knew you were going the right way, but you didn't know where that was. But the white sort of fog became little sparkles. And then the little sparkles became like tiny miniature screens. Now, nowadays we can say like telephone screens, but in those days there was no mobile phone. So, they looked like little television screens. And I remember looking, like leaning forward and looking, what is that? And it was a memory. It was one of my memories. And I went, oh, there are all my memories. And I kept on walking, and there was this like a wall, not a fence. It was a solid wall, and you could see the light behind it, and that's where we were heading. That's where I was heading, and I could see all these little people. Well, what I would say, people peeping around the corner, looking at me, and laughing and giggling.
Do you know who those people were?
I don't know exactly. I can't tell you exactly. But I knew that they were. I can't say family, but I knew that they were family. Does that make sense? Like, I couldn't say if they were particular family, but I knew that they were. I was coming home. I knew I was coming home. And then I did hear the big boomy voice going, "You're not." Oh, they were giggling because she's not supposed to be here. She's not supposed to be here. That's the message I was getting. And then the big sort of boomy voice went, and it didn't say anything. It just was like, "Back you go," and you just knew.
So both these incidents you experienced. Out-of-body experiences, did you want to come back into the physical body? Did you have a choice?
I didn't feel I had a choice, but I feel like I was meant to experience that to get an understanding of where I am today. I needed to experience that. Like I said, all I did was I just felt sick. I wasn't like on the operating table being operated on, or, you know, it wasn't, I just felt sick one day. So I was definitely not ready to go, I can assure you. And that wasn't, you know, like I wasn't trying to commit suicide or anything like that. It just happened. But it's so weird that it happened almost 12 months to the day of the attack. And then the third time I left my body, well, I did it deliberately because by then, it's gone 10, 15 years later, I started reading and getting an understanding about different things. And one of the things was called astral traveling, where you leave your body. You're always attached to your body. You're attached with a silver thread, they call it, but you're always attached. But you can actually leave your body, fly around, have a little bit of a look, and then come back in. And so I practiced that for about 3 months, 4 months, every night. You know, this is what I want to do. I want to do some astral traveling. And I did it. One night I did it, and I was so excited. As soon as you put emotions with it, straight back in the body you go.
So astral traveling and out-of-body experiences, is there a difference between the two?
I think astral traveling is a terminology that they use because you're traveling in the astral realm. But as far as I'm concerned, it's like an out-of-body experience. Whether there's a different terminology, you know, you've heard of near-death experiences when people leave their body. I class them all under the umbrella as out-of-body experience, and we all have them for different reasons. And when you hear about adults that don't remember as a child of being attacked or being abused, you know, where some kids just don't remember, they turn off, I believe that they've actually left their body because you haven't got the energy, you haven't got that emotional connection. So I believe they've had an out-of-body experience while their physical body's being abused, and then they come back in. And that way you don't have as much emotional attachment. It doesn't screw with your head as much.
And you could pretty much go where you wanted to go as opposed to the first two times. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was that's when I got the understanding of what the other two things were, what I experienced. But, yes, you can go wherever you like. Just don't get too excited about it because otherwise you'll come straight back into your body like I did. I only just got down the driveway and I've gone, oh, I'm doing it. And then, oh, straight back in the body. It was like, oh, bugger.
Fascinating. So what would you say you gain from astral traveling?
Oh, absolutely nothing. I shouldn't say that. I was, when I was doing it, I'm a theory tester. So I like to get an understanding of different things, but I'm a theory tester. I will test the theories. I've tested visualization. I've tested manifestation, I should say. I've tested a lot of things. And when I was going through the relationship breakdown and, you know, like 10 years of trying to sort my relationship out, I did a lot of self-help reading and things like that. Now, it's okay to do this self-help work, but if you're not testing it and seeing if it suits you, see if it resonates with you, then it's pointless. You know, it's no good just reading it. You've got to action it. So I started to test some of these theories, and some of them worked really well. Others, not so good. And that's because it's not saying that they weren't any good. It's just horses for courses. They just didn't suit me. But there was a couple there. One of them was creative visualization. That was really good. I tested that theory, but the astral travel was a test. It was like, well, what's it all about? Is it true? And once I did it, that's when I realized what the other two were about. And that's when I went, well, hang on. I know I didn't have any feelings, like no emotions. I should say no emotions when I was being attacked. When I had that near-death experience, the whole feeling wasn't emotions, because emotions are energy in motion. Feelings are what we feel. The feelings that I had in this near-death experience, it was just amazing. The colours, the sounds, the whole feeling of, I don't know what love feels like in that context. I know what it feels like in a relationship, but that's what it felt like. It was just awesome, like overwhelmingly beautiful. And I was quite happy to be there. If I died that day, wouldn't have worried me at all.
It sounds like what one or two of my friends have described when their third eye opened, where they experience absolute bliss. It's like pure, unconditional love. Tears are just flowing from their eyes uncontrollably, and it's tears of pure happiness, nothing else.
That's exactly what it's like. Absolutely. You just don't know how. The colours are not explainable because they're not the colours, the same colours. And it's so weird and so wonderful. Yeah, exactly like that. I've had a meditation where that has happened as well. And it's absolutely amazing.
And you said that the breath is at the centre of this, or at least have some sort of control over your breathing.
Yeah, and that's a different type of the meditations and things like that. That's how you can do that. That's a whole full podcast just in itself talking about that side of it. But I guess what I would love to put forward is the fact that not everything suits everyone.
One has to try different modalities. Yeah, no, thanks for that, Susan. Very, very insightful. I want to move on to another topic, which would be very helpful to men, and that is meditation, visualization, and communication. What is the link between the three?
The link is definitely your intuition. Sorry, that was a little trick question. So the link is definitely your intuition. So visualization, meditation, and communication. When I look at it, visualization, I look at it as it's a forward thinking. We're visualizing what we want, okay? When I look at meditation, we're going introspect, we're going inwards, we're going getting an understanding of what we need to know. And then the communication is part of, obviously, the here and now, how we are communicating with others. And I know that when you're communicating with others, people will say things and they straight away they'll feel not so good, or you know, you pick up that information from people. That's your intuition when you're coming through. Your intuition will be talking to you as you're doing a meditation. You'll be getting intuitive messages that way. And then as you're visualizing, you're always connecting with your intuition, because you want to visualize what you want, and it's got to be on purpose. If you're visualizing something that's not necessarily on purpose, it's going to be a lot harder for you to actually visualize it and to get the feeling and to get the understanding of it. So that's a little bit harder to do. But basically, between all of them, one of the things with communication is even when you're communicating with somebody, it's how you're communicating. If you're going through a problem with the relationship, you've got to be talking the I's, not the you's. You did this, you did that. I don't like how you do that. If you start talking about I, it really upsets me. I'm feeling really lost. I don't know what our relationship's doing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make this better. And you're doing the I's because what you're doing is expressing how you feel. And that is part of your intuition, because that's what needs to come out.
So the conclusion we can draw from this is work on your intuition. And that is really the link between meditation, visualization, and how we communicate.
And I'd go meditation first, because to me, you're getting that information that you need. Then when you're communicating with somebody, like If you're getting that information through meditation, like you said, you're getting sort of down, I call them downloads, so you're getting sort of downloads, then you've got to be able to communicate that, not necessarily explain it all properly, but start to communicate that, oh, I would like to do this. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it is.
Fantastic. Susan, this has been very insightful. I mean, there's so many more questions. I think we can talk for hours here. What takeaways would you give my listeners with regards to intuition, energy, emotions?
Okay, I would probably go back to the three: ask, receive, and action. But I just wanted to clarify one area there, and that is the difference between emotions and feelings. And this is really important for guys because it is really hard to get an understanding of it. I still sometimes get confused too, but I'm going to give it to you as clear as I can. So we've got the two different things. Emotion is what they call energy in motion. Emotions are the physical, the action. So feelings are what we're feeling inside. Emotions are what we are expressing externally. So we may be feeling a bit sad and we express it as anger. We may be feeling a little bit embarrassed and we're expressing it as hate. No, and this is where guys can, or people in general, honestly, people in general, you know, you wake up and you're sort of feeling a little bit blue, you're feeling a little bit down, you know, not depressed so much, but you're feeling a little bit down and everything else. It's how you're putting that across. It's like the kids walk past and do something and it's like you explode. And that's, you know, you've got to control that emotion. That's the part that you've got to be mindful of. But how you're feeling is where you need to do the work. So it's how you're feeling. And I know these days there when I've woken up and I've sort of go, I say to Phil, oh, I'm just feeling a bit flat. And that's okay. We're allowed to feel flat. We don't have to feel on top of the world every day. We're allowed to feel flat. But acknowledge it. And when you're talking to somebody, it's like me talking. If I woke up this morning and I was feeling flat, it doesn't mean I have to talk to you in a feeling a flat way. I can fake it. You know, I can sort of go, wow, it's a great day, rah, rah, rah. And eventually that feeling flat becomes easier and it doesn't affect your whole life. So if you're feeling a little bit blue or you're feeling down or you're feeling not right, just be mindful of how you're expressing that because that's that emotion and the emotion is what does the damage, not the feeling.
And when we're manifesting our dreams and desires, is it the feeling or the emotions that's the language that we speak to the universe?
When you're doing your manifestation, I have fun doing. I tested that theory too. $85,000 later, I tested that theory.
You gotta tell us how.
I've got some stories. I told you. when you're doing manifestation, it is the feeling. Okay, you've got to try and connect with that feeling. When I'm saying to you about with the flower readings and stuff like that, if you can connect with that feeling, not the emotion. The emotion is I want $1 million. You know, I want $1 million because no. The feeling is, I want to feel secure. I want to feel financially secure. Okay, so we're looking at the different areas there. So when you're wanting to do manifestation, connect with the feeling, right? So when I did my manifestation, I wanted to test the theory. So it was like I wanted the old farmhouse. I was on a 90-acre organic crop farm. I wanted the old farmhouse fixed up, and I knew we didn't have the money. So I would go into each room and I'd go, this is how I want this room to feel. And it'd be, oh, nice and bright and light and clean, and you know, like I just la 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 did it for about 6 months. Each room, tried each room, you know, this is how I want it to feel. I even got to the stage where I went, all right, the kitchen, I went into the local hardware store and I picked out doorknobs, different things like that, just because you know, that feels nice. Oh, I like those colors. And I know the ex-husband had said, we can't afford that. Why are you looking at those? Because it makes me feel good. It doesn't matter that we can't afford it, I don't care, it makes me feel good. And then just before Christmas, 1989, I think it was, we had this big storm come through, wiped off the roof, took everything away, left us with nothing sort of type thing. And, basically a rebuild, old for new, got everything back, everything exactly how it was. I remember saying to the builder, how long is this going to take? Because we're trying to work a farm here. You know, how long is this going to take? He goes, oh, when situations like this, the longest thing is people have to, because they're not ready for it, have to pick their colours for the house and the kitchen and that. And I went, oh, I've already got that. So it was, you know, it was just amazing. But it was attaching to the feeling, not the emotion.
I'm going to remember that from my manifestations. Feeling, not the emotion.
Yes. yes. Make sure you get that feeling. You'll feel it in your heart chakra. You'll feel it there.
Yeah, I think a lot of men have to open up a lot of the chakras, especially the heart chakra. I'm certainly guilty of that. But yeah, once that unlocks, then the world is your oyster, I've been told.
Yeah, but look, you know, people do say that we've got to open it up and everything else. And yes, I do agree. But we also need to protect it. So with our chakras, we receive information and we give information, right? So we do have to protect it. And it's no good walking around with your heart completely open and everyone trashing you. So, yes, I understand why people protect it, those protect those areas. In a situation like with the pack rate, my base chakra would have closed right down, like as a protection. And everything with in regard to that chakra would have closed down with it. Finances, roof over my head, this, that, you know, everything else closed down with it. So I had to open it back up. I had to allow that to be opened again to be able to receive that information and that understanding. So, yes, I get that we have our heart chakra closed, but not they're not always closed. They open and close as they go along. And that's not a bad thing. That's a safety thing.
For sure. It's been very, very insightful, Susan. I've learned a lot, and I'm sure my listeners have learned a lot as well. And where can people find you?
My website is intuitivenature.com.au, so it's an Australian business, AU. You can find me on there. I'm on the socials, all the socials and that. I have, you know, Facebook pages and everything you're supposed to have. I've got all that. But, yeah, just look, connect with me. I have to be honest, like on Facebook and that, if you are connecting with me there and you are a man, I will be going, what's going on here? Because we get so many bombarded with, you know, fake IDs and all the rest of it. So if you do connect through the website, it would be better. It would be a truer connection, if that makes sense.
I'll link that in the description. Cool. With that, Susan, thank you once again and wish you a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you, and you have a great evening too. Thank you so much.
If you liked this episode, then make sure to like, share, subscribe, and leave a review. That will help me get to people just like you. Also, make sure to visit mlmpod.info. Keep acquiring knowledge, and I'll see you in the next episode.